Good morning. My name is Jeremy Africa, and I'm the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. Today is our kickoff Sunday. In case the cooler weather, the cooler nights is not enough of a reminder that fall is starting, this is the Sunday that we designate to kick off our fall programming here at the church. And so whether you're here in the sanctuary or joining us virtually online, we welcome you on behalf of everyone who is helping to lead worship this morning. As you might imagine, there is quite a bit going on in the church with the startup of fall, and so I want to highlight some announcements for you this morning. I'm going to lead off by inviting Nathan Snyder and Tyler Morris to come forward. They are members of the church's music staff, and they have several announcements for you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Nathan Snyder, and I am the bell director here at First United Methodist Church. We are starting a new chime choir this fall, and this is for new and novice ringers in grades 4 and up. That includes teenagers, adults, young married couples, grandparents. If you are in fourth grade or older and you've always thought, I want to try to do what they do up here on Sunday morning when they ring, this is the group for you. The great news is it's low commitment. 5 rehearsals and then play in church. I'm not committing you to a whole year of showing up every week yet. That'll be when you get really good and you join one of the 2 main bell choirs. If you are interested, we will start rehearsals on September the 28th. It will be after church, 11:15 to 12 o'clock in the bell room. That will get you through the rehearsal, and then if you have kids that are doing it or you have kids yourself, then you can go and have lunch after that. If you are interested, you can email me. My church email is nsnyder@fumcmid.org. It's in the e-blast. If none of those are going to stick in your brain, you can just call the church office, tell Emily that you want to be part of the chime choir, and she will get your information and give it to me. I really hope to see a lot of people. I would love for this to be intergenerational with the kids and adults coming out and doing this together. It would be great. You'll learn some music, learn some chimes, and then we'll play a nice simple piece in church for everybody to enjoy and enhance the worship service. Thank you very much. I hope to see a bunch of you on the 28th. Oh, and we ring in church on November 2nd. I should tell you that just so you know that's when it is.
Thank you, Nathan. Good morning, church. I have a smaller announcement for you today. Beginning next Sunday, we are going to start during service, during Sunday school, having children's choir rehearsals. It's going to be really tiny, about 10 minutes every Sunday. Just giving you a heads up that we've got some works in the works for children's choir to come back to the church. At the beginning, it'll just be getting them to sing, and hopefully by the time Christmas time rolls around, we'll have something ready for in service. Thank you.
Thank you, Tyler, and thank you, Nathan. You know, from time to time, we all want to chime in, so evidently Nathan's the one to see. Hey, you see what I've done there. All right, next announcement is from Nancy Peeler, our co-leader of the church's legacy team. Nancy?
Good morning, church. On behalf of the legacy team and the celebration team, I'd like to share information about our upcoming Celebration Sunday, which is on September 21st, 2 weeks from today. Now, it all began with a challenge to the congregation back in 1941 to build a new church to house the growing congregation. In 1946, the congregation was asked where they wanted to build their new church, what kind of church they wanted, and how large of a church they should build. In 1947, they had a plan and an architect, and they broke ground in 1949. And 75 years ago, on September 10th, 1950, realized their dream of holding their first service in this beautiful sanctuary we sit in today. Our worship service on September 21st will be much like the 1950 service, and some of our past clergy are coming back to help us celebrate in this special service. We hope that you will bring your family, friends, and neighbors, and especially those who have worshiped here in the past, back for this special service. We have some activities after the service. We will be having a luncheon. We are hosting a chicken dinner in Fellowship Hall, and we chose that in honor of the hundreds of First United Methodist chicken dinners that were held to earn money to pay off the mortgage on this church. And I've also heard a rumor that a crew will be baking some First United Methodist rolls to go along with the meal. We ask that you RSVP for the luncheon so we can make sure we have enough food. Those RSVPs are due by September 15th. In your bulletin, there is a QR code if you'd like to use that. You should also find cards in the pews that you can fill out and drop in the collection plate. You can also call the church office and give them your RSVP. A couple activities after lunch. At 1 o'clock, we're going to be hosting an I Spy game. And it's just a chance to find some fun features in the church designed for families or anybody who's interested. And then at 1:15 and 2 o'clock, we will be hosting an architectural tour of the church in case you'd like to learn more about that. We are looking for some volunteers, a few people to help with the afternoon activities. You don't need any special knowledge or skills. Just let me know if you're willing to help. We are also looking for people to bake cookies for the luncheon. If you are willing to do that, remember we would prefer to have cookies with no nuts. You can drop them off in Fellowship Hall or in the kitchen on the day before or the morning of. And we could also use a few volunteers to help with setup and for serving lunch on Saturday and Sunday. So in advance, we thank you for your support, and we're really looking forward to celebrating with you on September 21st. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Indeed, we do look forward to that celebration as a church. Be sure to invite those you know who have perhaps are worshiping here or have worshiped here before. We want to share this day with them in our community. Next, I'm going to invite Michelle Barr, who is a member of our church and a champion of Neighboring Week here in our community. So, Michelle.
Thanks, Jeremy. I'd just like to share a little bit of information about Neighboring Week. Midland Neighboring Week is a citywide effort coordinated in conjunction with the Midland Community Foundation. Kathy Snyder and I are co-chairs of this committee. I'm very grateful to Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Bethany for giving me time to share the plans for our church. Our church is looking forward to supporting Neighboring Week in multiple ways, one of which we are asking help for. Many of you have seen donation bins in the lobby asking for donations. We're looking for mini-sized candy bars, Hershey's Kisses, lunch-sized chips and pretzels to pass out at church on September 28th. Please be aware of our nut-free snacks and candy mandate in our church, but we really do appreciate your consideration for donations. Our S3 group will bag the treats with the logo of a little something salty, a little something sweet, because having you as a neighbor is a really big treat. That is courtesy of Marilyn Horton and the little poem. Your friends from First United Methodist Church are very important to our neighborhoods. We will include our service time and address on the bags as an invitation for anyone who would like to join and visit our church on Sunday mornings. If you have any questions at all, please give me a call, and thank you in advance for your donations.
Thank you, Michelle. We look forward to being good neighbors, indeed, and being a part of Neighboring Week here in our community. Last thing, I'm going to hand things off to Pastor Bethany, who has several announcements for us as well. Pastor Bethany?
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. Indeed, I do have several announcements for us this morning. The first one I have for us is about our church conference on September 28th. That will be at 2:30 at Hope UMC. And that is a time where we gather to celebrate the previous year and to vote on some different things in the upcoming year. And so I would invite everyone to come and to be aware of that. And then I also want to have us open our bulletins. Inside, you'll see an insert for some of the small groups that will be beginning this month. And then lastly, I would like to remind us of our kickoff. After worship, we'll have a fellowship time together out on Fitzhugh Street with some games and snacks. And I invite you to exit through these doors in the back, through the narthex, and to the left. or through the poolside exit to get to Fitzhugh Street. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy.
Thank you. Indeed, with all of this, there is much more, so please be sure to read through your bulletin or your weekly e-blast in the week to come and connect with a group, with the ministries here at the church.
O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it.
I invite you to remain standing as you are able and to join one another in our opening song, Lord of All Hopefulness. You'll find this on page 2197 of our Faith We Sing songbook or on the screen in front of you.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. As you may have noticed, there are some decorations around the sanctuary. That is for today's kickoff Sunday, which our theme is Magnified, based on our VBS this summer. And so for this morning's children's blessing, the children are going to sing our theme song for VBS, which is Magnified. And if you'd like to, we would invite you to join in as Miss Allison leads for us this morning.
Magnified, to circle up in prayer, okay? We're going to circle up in prayer. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Allison, for leading us in that. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for this special kickoff Sunday. We recognize and celebrate your greatness. Be with our Sunday school class as we explore the garden this morning, review the Psalms, enjoy a treat, and magnify, praise you, Lord. Amen.
Come to a time of offering. As the ushers are coming forward, I invite you to sign the red friendship pads in your pews and to pass them down to your neighbors. And if you don't know someone sitting in your pew, take a look at that friendship pad. We love to get to know our neighbors and we love to get to know who's here. And I invite you to reflect on all the ways that God has blessed you and been near to you this week. If the ushers will please come forward.
Brothers and sisters, I ask you to stand as we sing our doxology today.
God, we do praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, for who you are and all that you give to us. We pray that you would use these gifts to your glory and to build up your kingdom. We love you and we thank you so much. For all that we have to give is all that we have already been given by you. We pray all of this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Philemon, verses 4 through 12. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning. I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people. And I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people. That is why I am boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing for you to do. But because of our love, I prefer simply to ask you. Consider this as a request from me, Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while here in prison. Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us. I am sending him back to you, and with him comes my own heart. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Growing up, I had an affinity for letters, handwritten notes, if you will. I remember as a middle school student having a 5x7 picture frame on my bedside table, and the frame displayed a picture of my mother and me while on a family vacation. Self-avowed mama's boy. But tucked behind the picture was a letter from my dad. That frame is all but a distant memory, having fallen apart after too many falls off of that bedside table. Evidently, this is an occupational hazard that comes with horsing around as a middle schooler. But I still remember what made that frame special to me was the letter I had tucked inside of it. And for the longest time, inside my wallet, I carried around a letter that my brother had written to me while we were roommates in college. Yes, we were roommates for the first 3 years of my undergraduate studies. Imagine that. And I kept this letter tucked in my wallet for several decades until its accumulative wear and tear was getting the best of this singular piece of three-ring binder paper that it was written on. And so today, it now sits in the center desk drawer in the parsonage's study. After taking up why he was writing to me, my older brother wrote to me, "I also want to let you know how much I enjoy living with you in this apartment. I had my doubts not about you, but about me. Anyone who knows me knows that I like my space, almost to the point of being a recluse. I've never really been one to talk much. Yet you found a way to put up with that, and I thank you for it. Although I don't say much, the words are there. I'm proud of you. I love you. Thanking God for you, Michael." I'm not sharing this letter with you because either one of us are saints, my brother or me. If any of us are saints in this scenario, it's our wives who put up with us still acting like a pair of knuckleheads, even though we're both now into our 50s. More so, I share my brother's letter as a reminder that relationships are hard. That living with one another, living in community, even a faith community, can be difficult. And as a reminder that staying connected, even with the best of intentions, is never easy. The New Testament book of Philemon is yet another letter, albeit a relatively short letter. In fact, it's the third shortest book in the New Testament. And so as a teenager, if your parents ever send you to your room to cool off and say, "Go read a book of the Bible before coming back," Philemon's a good one to go with. This letter is from the Apostle Paul and from Timothy, one of Paul's closest companions, and they're writing to a fellow believer named Philemon. Now, in writing to Philemon, it's evident that this is someone special to Paul. For example, Paul addresses Philemon as a brother, writing in verse 7, "Your love has given me much joy and comfort, my brother, for your kindness has often refreshed the hearts of God's people." And although there's this affinity for one another, Paul is left tackling a tough situation with Philemon. For you see, somehow, while in prison, Paul has come in contact with Onesimus, a slave who belonged to Philemon. And while it's unclear how Onesimus and Paul came to cross paths, what is clear is that Paul also values Onesimus. There's a kinship between the two. There's a closeness between the two. With Paul writing in verse 10, "I became his father in the faith while in prison." And while wishing that Onesimus could remain with him, Paul returns him to Philemon, writing to Philemon, "I appeal to you to show kindness to my child Onesimus. He is no longer like a slave to you. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. Now, it's important to note, especially with our country's painful history of slavery, that this portion of the Bible has been used wrongfully as biblical and as theological justification for slavery. For Paul never thoroughly condemns in this letter the practice of slavery. Furthermore, Paul returns Onesimus, yes, as a brother to be loved, yet still as a slave. But to interpret this, whether implicitly or explicitly, as an endorsement of slavery misses the mark, and it ignores the truths here to be found and taken from Paul. Such as the notion that within relationships, whether on a personal level or within a community, tough issues are bound to come up. Paul's letter here is a good reminder to us and a good reminder to the church that within relationships, tough issues are bound to come up. And that sometimes easy answers to these issues are not always readily available. Or there's the idea that relationships, that interpersonal relationship themselves, can be complicated, whether because of the bonds we share, whether because of the imbalance of power, or the very worth placed on one versus another. Paul's reminding us in this letter to this dear friend about another dear friend that relationships are complicated. And indeed, in Paul's letter and Paul's response, we also find the very notion that life is precious. That we in our humanity are delicate, and that we ought to approach one another with kindness. That we ought to approach one another with kindness. We find this in Paul's handling of his spiritual kinship with Onesimus, with Philemon, and with himself, where Paul magnifies God's presence by exercising humility, by being discerning, all in pursuit of God's wisdom and God's way. I have one remaining letter to share with you today. And though it's not a letter per se, it sure reads like one. The following is from Marilyn Clark's telling of the history of First United Methodist Church. Here in Midland. For some who have been here for many years, you might remember Marilyn as a member of the church, as one who carried the mantle of Friendship Lunch. Well, she too wrote a history of our congregation. Marilyn writes, in a letter to the congregation in October 1946, Dr. Wilcox, the senior pastor at the time, posed three questions. Where should the church be built? what kind of church should be built, and how large a church should be built. Since the official board had been acquiring the block of property bound by Maine and Jerome, Larkin, and Fitzhugh Streets, the first question was answered. The same year, Alden B. Dow was asked if he would be interested in being the architect of the new building. His response, he would be thrilled to do so. Through the following months, there was much discussion. And heated argument about several aspects of the new design. One controversial item was the size of the sanctuary. The community was in a post-war boom, and every church was bursting at the seams. The final motion was for a sanctuary. This sanctuary, with a seating capacity of about 1,000. End quote. Friends, this is our story. This is who we are. And whether this morning you're relating to these letters on a personal level, and the Holy Spirit has you ruminating or thinking about a personal relationship, a personal kinship in your life that has gotten complicated, or perhaps you're understandably considering our upcoming 75th celebration of the sanctuary's dedication, and rightfully so, you're imagining what the next 75 years might hold. Either way, if you walk away today, or better yet, this week, remembering one thing, I hope you'll remember this, that life is precious. And that we in our humanity are delicate. And that we ought to approach one another simply with kindness. In doing so, we'll magnify God's wisdom and God's path, even when the going is tough. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you for our stories. Stories that we find in our letters to loved ones and to friends. Stories that we find in our history as a church. And most of all, stories that we find in your word that tell us who we are and who you are and how we all relate to one another. Lord, much as Paul did so long ago to his friend Philemon, and on behalf of his other beloved Onesimus, help us to hear his kindness. Help us to match his humility. Help us to walk alongside you with your wisdom, that we might encounter you and that we might magnify you. God, set this kindness in our hearts. as we consider the difficult relationships in our lives, whether some of them might rest here, whether we find them at work, whether they are in our own homes, you have shown us a way that is good and that magnifies you. And so we give you our praise and our thanks this morning. Amen. Friends, one of the places where we experience this kindness that Paul wrote about and that is etched into our lives, and that is a very part of the roots of this church, is right here at the communion table, where everyone is invited to encounter again and to receive again the kindness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As a United Methodist Church, we open this table to everyone. You need not be a member of this church. You need not be a member of any church to receive this means to encounter God's grace and kindness all over again. So we're going to invite you, as you are ready and after we share our preparations, to come forward through the center aisle. We invite you to take a piece of the bread and to receive the element in that way. We have the gluten-free bread that is set aside in the bowl. And we also invite you to take a cup of juice where you might receive the grape juice. We'll invite you to come through the center aisle and then return using your side aisles this morning. I invite you to turn to page 12 in your hymnal, or you may see your portion of the liturgy or the prayers on the screen in front of you. I invite you to join Pastor Bethany and I in our preparations for Holy Communion this morning. So once again, I remind you that it's Christ our Lord who invites to his table all who love him, all who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us take the next few moments of silence to confess to our gods when we have fallen short in sharing the kindness that God calls us to share. Hear the good news that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, and for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The bread which we break, and the cup over which we give thanks, is a sharing in the body and in the love of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us offer to the Father with the bread and with the wine all our joys and all our sorrows, all our cares, Lord, all are thine. As the growing wheat will ripen, let us show to the poor and heavy laden gathered at the Savior's side, where their grief will turn to gladness as the grapes are pressed to wine. Te ofrecemos, Padre nuestro, con el vino y con el pan, nuestras penas y alegrías, en trabajo y nuestro afán. From the country, from the city, from the riches of the land, we bring back to our Creator
Brothers and sisters, I invite you to stand as we sing our final hymn today, God of Change and Glory, God of Time and Space, also known as Many Gifts, One Spirit. You can find this hymn on page 114 in your hymnal.
Like a lot of dads who's raising like 10 or 11 year olds, I should say parents raising 10 and 11 year olds and younger, there's so much that I want to pack into my son. I guess I better get busy starting writing letters. One of those things is kindness. Just to be kind. And I know on a Sunday morning, or if we think about reading a letter that was written centuries ago, that kindness becomes a complicated matter. How do I show kindness? How do I show this kindness that the Apostle Paul was asking for? Maybe it doesn't have to be that complicated. We have a middle school student, a high school student who know how to show this kindness because I see them occasionally serving lunch on Sunday afternoons with the Sunday Friendship Lunch Crew. Okay? Kindness can be as simple as going to Meijer or going to Walmart. Okay, going to Meijer now is a little bit more complicated because of the construction. But kindness can be as simple as noting the expression on the staff or the employee who is checking you out and seeing that they are taking everything and anything from the customer in front of you about their bad day. And you might just thank them for being there, and you might just use their name. Kindness might be when you feel yourself balling up inside because the person you're speaking with disagrees with you. And taking a breath and allowing God to speak into that disagreement. May we embody that kindness today. Out on Fitzhugh, out with one another as a church, and in the community. Amen.